When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, Episode 79.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we give you a glimpse into the world of the biggest voice actors in the industry over a delicious cup of coffee. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there, my name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to get to know more about me, feel free to check out my website at andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have the phenomenal Kevin Kilpatrick. Kevin is a multi-award-winning voiceover artist who has voiced some of the largest campaigns and automotive spots all across the country. If you've ever called an Enterprise or a Pizza Hut across the U.S., you've probably heard his voice. Actually, hold on.
Thank you for calling Enterprise Rent-A-Car. For quality assurance, your call may be monitored or recorded. For information about our privacy policy, please
yeah,
visit...
Yeah, that's him. He is a skilled producer and coach, and also the host of the Making Waves VO podcast, where he and Bobby Maxwell dive deep into the lives of other voiceover artists. In this episode, we talk about adapting to changes in career growth, building his automotive career, and Kevin's new career goals. Beautiful. So how are you doing today, Kevin?
I'm doing great. Oh, is it time for coffee?
It's always time for coffee.
I just happen to have some right here.
Fantastic. How do you take your coffee?
I take it. I'll tell you the impetus story of my coffee. I was in college. I was doing morning radio. And, yeah. You know, college, man, that age and like, ooh, party, party, party. But I had to also do the morning show on a local radio station in Magnolia, Arkansas. I had no interest in coffee, Andrew, at the time. And I had a buddy, he's like, dude, trust me, have some coffee. It'll really help you get through those mornings. And he's like, what I like to do with it is I'll take it black and then I'll get a big old glazed donut and I'll just jam the donut in there and just sweeten it up. And then I'll have the donut and the coffee at the same time. I'm like, that kind of sounds nasty, but it's what got me into it. So I used to do it where I dunk some glazed donut in there to just kind of get me used to drinking coffee. But now, here we are, you know, decades later, and I don't know if you can see that. Let's see.
Yeah.
I do a splash of cream. And that's it. I do, I'm a Starbucks guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a bad word around here.
No, see, I appreciate Starbucks because I do love a good local coffee shop and I do love a good fresh roast. But what I love about Starbucks is its consistency. I know if I go to a Starbucks, I am going to get what I expect out of a cup of coffee from them. And I do appreciate
for sure.
that.
And so I brought that experience home. And so I got me a Keurig and I do the Starbucks pods. So okay. I do the Pike Place roast is my go-to. And then... I've actually gone to their caramel macchiato creamer. So
it's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it just, it gets me going. So yeah.
Fantastic. Is that all that gets you going? Cause I mean, your personality just always seemed turned on. Like, I don't mean to take that out of context, but like you always seem like bright and like you always are ready. Did that like come from you being in radio or is that just kind of like just you?
Man, I have always been, okay. So I'm the youngest of four boys.
Okay.
And I always had that youngest child syndrome going where I needed to be the center of attention all the time. So I've always kind of been that guy that wants to be funny, pay attention to me. And it started out, you know, when I was like in kindergarten or first grade, I started doing plays back then. But I've always liked making people laugh. I've always liked people making people feel good about themselves. So I found that in life, man, if you are nice to people, kind to people, make them feel good about themselves, it all comes back to you in one form or another. So about being on all the time, that's kind of my personality. Now I have, you know, times where I'm just like, I want to watch a crime show and not talk to anybody. So I have those moments too. But when I'm out in public, you know, when you and I interact at the conferences via Atlanta and stuff,
yeah,
I'm a little bit more on, I guess, so to speak. But yeah, I think that's a big part of my personality.
Gotcha. And is that what stemmed your want to be in radio and be behind the microphone and be in the voiceover industry as a whole, was just your desire to both be funny, but also to kind of give something back to the creative process?
I always, like I said, especially in high school, I was a class clown, man. My grades were suspect a good part of the time. And I had some teachers that were like, Kevin, you're so smart, but you just play around too much. If you just focus just a little bit, you could get a B, you know? And I'm like, okay, I had a couple of teachers that I have to thank for that. Miss Odell, my algebra teacher, she was great. She was the one that said those specific things to me. But in high school, I was doing plays. I was, you know, a clown. And I engaged with all the cliques. I engaged with everybody. And so I guess that was something that my good friend Stephen Bright at the time noticed in me. And he knew I was gregarious and out there and like to perform and do that thing. He was working for a local radio station, Andrew, and I was a senior in high school. And he's like, Kev, I'm leaving my radio job in Magnolia, Arkansas. He said, I think you should apply for it. I think you'd be great. You got the personality and stuff. And I'm like, radio? I always loved radio growing up, but I'd never thought about it as a career so much. When I was a senior in high school, I was considering what I was going to do. And those considerations were being a baseball coach. That was one of the things that I was considering as a career. And he's like, radio. And I'm like, wow, cool. And I went down and I applied at that radio station. And they're like, you have no experience. We can't trust you. I did not get hired at that radio station. We had one other radio station in town. I went over there, KVMA, Magnolia, Arkansas, Ken Sibley, the general manager at the time. I just said, Ken, I just want to be around this stuff. I'll sweep your floors. I'll be here to do whatever you need just to be in this environment. And he gave me a job. And that's where it started. So to your question, I think somebody noticed in me that I like to perform and do my thing and be funny and be silly and be goofy. But I did have the ability to channel all that too. So that's how I got into it. It was a friend in high school suggested I should apply for a radio job. That job, they didn't want to give to me, which later down the road, that general manager told me he regretted it big time. I was like, yeah. So that's kind of how I got into it. A friend suggested it.
Well, what was the biggest learning curve in learning to channel that into something a little bit more structured?
Discipline, man. I that first radio job I got fired from. I worked there for about 2 years. And, you know, so I was a senior when I got it. I was like a sophomore in college when I got let go from that station. But it was the biggest, one of the best things that happened in my career, because I mean, I was late coming to work. This was a radio station that shut down at sunset. And so I was the guy responsible in the summertime to go shut down the radio station. You had to push a bunch of buttons, shut down the big antenna, the tower and stuff. And I missed doing that a couple times. And with the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, that is a huge no-no if you do not shut down on time, because you're taking up the bandwidth or frequency space of another radio station that's supposed to power up and become stronger at nighttime. So my signal was interfering with that I did not shut down, and it just happened one too many times. So I got fired. That was a big eye-opener for me, man. It was like, Kevin, if you want to be serious, and at the time it was radio. Voiceover wasn't even a consideration at the time. I didn't even know anything about it. I knew we played these commercials on our station that we did not make, but I didn't put all that together. But it was the biggest eye-opener, getting fired, and it was what lit a fire under me to focus and concentrate and try to make a career out of radio at the time.
And so what was kind of your career from that point on into the voiceover industry? Like, how did you discover voiceover outside of radio, and that was something you wanted to do a lot more?
So voiceover, you're immersed in voiceover and radio all the time.
Right.
And I still to this day remember getting directed for a radio spot by the salesperson. So this lady handled this, and this is Magnolia, Arkansas. This lady handled an account, and I was cutting the commercial, and this was on reel-to-reel tape, man. This is way, way back. And I remember her directing me, and I'm like, I have a voice. I have been told my voice is good. I have been told that I have a voice for radio, all these different things. And in my head, I was going, I don't, but at the time she was going like, I don't hear your passion or your love for this product or whatever. I know, but no, my voice sounds good, doesn't it? And that was the first time I ever got an inkling of, oh, connection to script, truth and storytelling, passion and all these different things. I thought I was da 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 da. Just read it and sound good doing it. That's what I thought that whole time. That was my first eye opener to it. I still didn't put it all together. Now, you do commercials and radio all day long. You do your radio shift on the air, and then you make spots and you bang them out, right? You rip and read is what we call it. And you throw a music track under it, all that. And now I did have a passion for producing and trying to make stuff sound cool. But a lot of times, Andrew was with sound effects, layering my vocals, you know, panning them either way. So right. It's Sunday, Sunday, you know, yeah. That kind of vibe. But it wasn't until, I don't know, my 16th, 17th, 18th year in radio that I started doing spots on the side for car dealers. And that's when I started going, oh, you've got to try at this. You can't just sound cool. You've got to, you know, in automotive, you know, you massage price points. You give love to the offers and different things like that. And that's when I started learning about that it's not just about, you know, having a cool voice, right? But it was then that I started thinking, and this was at the time, this is like 99, 2000, right around there, okay. Where radio was getting very, very corporate. And I started thinking, I was watching these DJs that I respected and admired lose their gigs in their 50s. And I was in my early 30s at the time. And I'm like, I don't want to be that guy looking for a gig. And so I started putting it together. I'd had a couple of other radio friends that left radio for voiceover. And I was like, I can do that. I can do that. So that's what it was. It was car commercials. My car commercials on the side really started picking up. I was doing some radio promo stuff for some network affiliate radio station stuff. And so I was like, I think I could hustle this up and make a living. And so 2004 is when I left radio behind. And it was just a grind ever since.
And so did you have your production company then as well? Or did that kind of fall in line with your voiceover career? Or did you start doing more production with K2, K squared?
K2, yeah, yeah. K2.
Yeah, did you start like doing K2 after you started building a larger repertoire and they're like, hey, we also need production work. Like what was that timeline?
The K2 name itself came around about 2013, somewhere in there, maybe 2012, 2013. I've always done production. Production's always been a passion of mine. And to make the ends meet from the voiceover world, I've always offered production. And Andrew, this is something that I'll tell many, many people is never say no. If at all possible, never say right. no to a yeah. client, right? You know this, you've been doing this now and you get that mindset. But I've always offered production. I've always thrown it out there. Like I don't throw it out there anymore as much, but I have a successful production company that runs on its own. I've got a full-time employee and I've got 2 to 3 part-time editors that help me. And so that's kind awesome. Of on autopilot. And so my focus right now is on the voiceover side because now I've got that running. And it's all about the side hustle, by the way, getting back, sorry, squirrel, here we go. back to your question though, I've always done production. I've always offered production and I always, you know, promote to people that, cause I work with people. Now that I've been doing this a long time, I've had people reach out. And so I do some mentoring stuff. I do some coaching stuff. And I always say, you know, never say no, but always be looking for those side hustles in this voiceover game because sometimes the voiceover side doesn't pay all the bills. You got to be able to write scripts. You got to be able to produce stuff. You got to be able to edit for other people. You got to be able to do social media stuff. All these ancillary areas around voiceover can add up to your income. So that was my mindset at the time. At the time in 2004 doing this, that's when I started full time. I left my radio job and the mother of my children at the time, she's still the mother of my children. We're not married anymore. That's what I'm getting to.
Yeah.
But she's like, are you crazy? You have a great radio job. You make decent cash. But I'm like, look, I see all these people getting fired and I don't want to be that guy in my 50s, 20 years from now, looking for a gig. So I've always done production. I've always had that as an offering. But here we are, 2024, and my major focus is voiceover itself, as my production company is being run by my main producer, editor guy.
And another timeline question. You also used to work for an ad agency. So like what part of
your timeline? How did you dig that up?
I do my research. And also, I think you told me that at VO Atlanta, actually.
Okay. That's great, though. So yeah. So I was in radio from a senior in high school, 1987. I'm dating myself. I'm 55. I started as a senior in high school. And I did that radio all that time till 94. In 19, you know, as I mentioned, I'm a production guy too. I always love production. And in 94, man, I was just kind of, I don't know, I was not feeling it. And I'm like, I didn't, you know, I always had this desire to produce too. I was offered a gig in Fort Lauderdale at a production house, an ad agency. So they did everything in-house. They wrote the commercials. They got the clients. They produced the spots. They shipped them, all these things. Well, they hired me to be their production manager. And so Fort Lauderdale, Miami, they're right there together. Mm-hmm. I still had this burning desire for radio though, right?
Yeah.
So I picked up a part-time gig in radio at WKIS Miami, 99.9 Kiss Country, a big country radio station in Miami. And after about 6 months working there part-time, they offered me a full-time gig. And Andrew, is just one of those things where I couldn't pass it up. The money was so much better than what I was making. I felt horrible for the ad agency because they paid to move this chucklehead from Little Rock, Arkansas, to move to Fort Lauderdale to be their production manager. And after 6-7 months, I'm like, y'all, it's been great, but I feel a calling. And I hate, as bad as I hate it, it still was a great career move for me because I flourished there. I stayed there for a decade at that radio station, made decent money, made a lot of great lifelong friends. And it ended up, I transitioned to voiceover from that radio station. And I learned from a lot of great people about voiceover at the time. So that was that timeline. So 1994, I worked for an ad agency for about 6-7 months and then picked up my part-time gig that turned into full-time gig at WKIS in Miami.
Now, I know advertising is always evolving, but just being that production manager, did you gain any insight from the inside that helped on how you approached future clients when you started going on your own and doing your own voiceover marketing?
These are great questions, by the way. You're doing a great job presenting these questions, by the way.
Thanks.
Yeah, man. It didn't really. If anything, I learned how to be professional. While, you know, my radio time, I learned about dealing with clients. I learned about dealing with in-house salespeople and their demands. And I learned that I am a creative artiste and I can be a temperamental artiste, as we all can be. You can, right. I'm sure you can attest.
Yeah.
But I heard that term more than one time. But I get frustrated when people don't care as much as I do about stuff.
Right.
In our work. And I, you know, I hear the thing, oh, that's good enough. And I'm like,
even from colleagues, man, like,
yeah,
I've tried to build accountability groups more times than I can count. And just people like they don't have the same, when people aren't on the same passion wavelength that you are, it gets under my skin, you know, like I'm trying to help you here.
It's frustrating. And and it still wasn't then that I learned about, you know, finessing the voiceover side and learning how to do deliveries and stuff like that. I honestly. So when I left radio it taught me to be professional, I think, and dealing with, you know, people in the world that I was in kind of, but it didn't teach me anything about voiceover performance. I'll say I learned about voiceover performance specific to automotive while I was still in radio. And that's been, you know, 25 years probably now. But I didn't start learning about the nuances of voiceover and performance and the intricacies of what gets you booked probably until the last 8-10 years, honestly, because my path was guided by automotive for the longest time. And I had, I don't know if I shared this story with you, but Bobby Maxwell, my good friend, and I call her my work wife because we do our podcast together, and right. we work together with automotive stuff almost daily. So okay. I sent her scripts. I manage the automotive roster for a big auto house, our big auto agency, and she's one of the main talents. So yeah, we work together almost daily.
Gotcha.
In 2018, where I met you, my friend, was at VoiceOver Atlanta. We didn't meet it in 2018, but you and I met at VoiceOver Atlanta.
Yeah,
I think we met a couple of years after that. But yeah, Bobby,
2021, somewhere around there. Yeah,
that was probably it. But Bobby in 2018 said, "Hey, are you going to VoiceOver Atlanta?" And I'm like, "What? What's a VoiceOver Atlanta?" That was my response. And she's like, "Oh, it's like a voiceover conference where like-minded folks get together. They learn, they take classes, and they learn about the industry and they network and all these different things." And I'm like, that sounds interesting, but man, believe it or not, it was a little intimidating at the time. I'd never done a conference, and I'm like, but I'm gonna go. That was around the time where I started going, I need to push myself more. I need to push myself more because I got into this business in 2004 because I wanted to do movie trailers, promos, national commercials, right? That's why we all want to do this for the most part. Some are animation geared, you know, right. video games that these are the things that I wanted to do. So in 2018, I had a career reset. I went to VO Atlanta, and it was the biggest inspiration. And working amongst all these people, I realized I'm doing okay. I'm all right right now. But it inspired me to get better. And that's always been my motto, too. If you stop being better, you'll stop being good. I had a radio program director that had that posted on the wall inside of our radio studio. And man, it just stuck with me. And I get it. It's like, if I don't get better, everybody else around me is getting better. And right. I'm going to stop being good because they're all going to be better than me. So I applied that to voiceover, especially since 2018. And I started training. I started working with, you know, top level coaches and trying to get better at my craft. And I've gotten better. I've seen results and I'm getting national gigs. And, you know, I have other goals in mind that I plan to tackle, and that's like my drive.
Like what are your goals right now? Because I mean, I know you have a big base in automotive, and I know that I don't want to say that your good pipes are a hindrance, but I know that was something that you were also discussing, that you were overcoming, trying to be more guy next door. But like, what are like your future goals right now? What are you aiming for, and what are you trying to do to tackle that?
It's okay. So I've been putting this out there among my closer friends, might as well put it out there while we're having coffee.
Yeah.
But my next level goal is trailers.
Trailers.
Yeah. And I'm understanding the world a little bit now. I'm just dipping my toe into the training part of it, but I've been working with a coach. I'm not going to mention any coaches right now because I've worked with a lot of coaches, and I love all the coaches I've worked with. Yeah, I mean, there are a couple that I've worked with that I'm like, you know, that was good. And I tend to glean something from all of them, stuff that I can put in my pocket and pull out whenever we audition, stuff like that. But I'm working with a guy every 2 weeks, every other Friday. We're doing our thing, grinding it out. And I know in the trailer world, it's an elite club. There's a dozen or so guys and maybe one gal right now, Debbie Harada. Bless her. And I'm so thankful that she has made inroads in this world. And there's, you know, a few others. Melissa Disney was one of the first to have a big trailer out for the Fast and Furious franchise. But I am immersing myself in that world in terms of training. And it's amazing what you learn about that world and how you think that it's one thing, but it's something else. So that's what I'm working towards. And these movie producers have millions and perhaps billions of dollars on the line. So it's really hard to break in because they want to work with people they trust that are going to sell their movie. So yeah, that's my next level goal. I've been so lucky to have an established income with automotive, e-learning. I'm booking national spots, you know, with regularity. I've got three or four running right now, and I'm so thankful to my agents for helping me get those. But next level goals, man. And that's what I encourage everybody to do. Just, you got this, you got this, you got this. All right, reach for this, reach for this, reach for this. Keep training and keep it. We all, I mean, unless you're some sort of savant or, you know, wunderkind, right. You got to work at it, right? Andrew, yeah. We have to work at it.
Yeah. So like, where are you current? Like, where do you go to find your work? Are you an audition guy? Are you a direct marketing guy? You mentioned like doing auditions for your agents and stuff like that, but where do you find other avenues of work outside of that? Are you just building agent connections with the type of work you want to do? Or are you reaching out to production companies individually?
This is going to sound so weird, or I don't know how it's going to sound actually, but I don't market. My automotive and e-learning, and I have a nice telephone client that I've been with for 20 plus years, that all these things, and then my agent auditions that come in, and then I'll still produce I don't know, a dozen radio spots, I don't know, a month at least, maybe it's closer to 20 radio spots that I still produce physically myself. And I oversee the production of about 200 TV spots every single month. I oversee a roster of e-learning talent. So there's a lot of, and I don't talk about this a whole lot, but there's a lot of business that I have to deal with.
Yeah.
Besides, you know, like I got to pay a dozen talents or so every single month. So I have to manage all that.
Even in voiceover, 80% of this is an office job. Like, yeah. And I very quickly learned that.
That's it. That's it. So to your question, I'm not doing a ton of marketing. Now, Okay. Whenever I like, well, let me take that back. When I said I'm not doing any marketing, I sent out an email about 2 weeks ago for a political opportunity, somebody that represents people in the political space. I sent him an email with my demo. I don't do that. But I do have, and this is where people can make ancillary income. I've got a gal that is going to do some marketing for me. I have curated a list for this gal to send my demos to in a specific genre. And I'm going to compose the email, the kind of template email, and I'm going to have her massage it a little bit, like look for things that can connect with that buyer or that producer, whomever it may be. And then, you know, customize that, send it out from my email, just like it looks like it's coming from me. But instead of me sitting here all day sending out 300 emails, I'm going to hire somebody, pay them $30 an hour to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the marketing. When I do marketing, it's something like that. Okay. But yeah, I'm just really lucky right now. But I've been doing it 20 years and I've been grinding for that long too, man.
Yeah, that's a lot of hats. Like what, I mean, I know no 2 days are the same, but like what is an average structure of a day in the life of Kevin Kilpatrick?
Oh, that's so funny. So I get up. The first thing I do is get my coffee.
Yeah.
I let the pooch out. I play with the pooch a little bit. Mm-hmm. We've got a boxer black lab mix. Her name is Poppy. She's sweet as pie. But I play with her for a little while. And then I come up and start, you know, seeing what's in the inbox. It's typically, Andrew, going to be a couple of car spots to start the day. Perhaps an e-learning course. I'm so grateful for my e-learning stuff because I've gotten the opportunity to work for some huge clients.
Yeah.
And so maybe an e-learning is sitting there waiting for me. Typically two or three times a week, at least I'm doing some spots or some telephone work for, I'm the voice for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Haven't been, you know, if you call any Enterprise in all the land, you're going to hear me. The majority of Pizza Huts across the country, you'll hear me. But there's, you know, one of those Lowe's do their stuff. There might be one of those waiting for me. It might be a sweet audition. And they're, oh, Kev, we need a, you know, Atlanta Toyota needs a spot produced. I'll produce a spot for Atlanta Toyota. That's kind of a typical day. Do some auditions. My audition process has become more involved. I was ripping and reading a lot of the times, but I, you know, I've found out that success comes in taking your time, getting connected, really going through it and finding the things to extract from the script that you connect with and look for the writer's intent. So I've gotten to where I'm spending a lot more times on audition and I'm seeing that I'm booking more. So that's kind of a typical day. A lot of coffee involved though.
Yeah. So what was kind of the birth of you and Bobby's podcast? Like, was that just a way to stay on the pulse in the voiceover industry or a way to give back or like a creative outlet? Like what started making waves?
All of those things you said, plus our radio history. She and I both, you know, we still love, I love this and I'm so grateful to be on with you. So thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, man. The thing about radio that I loved the most was the live performance. What I started hating about radio was having to go to, ironically enough, having to go to car dealerships on the weekend, come out, spin the prize wheel, win a t-shirt. And, you know, having my schedule being dominated by that because I just wanted to be on the air and play and be a clown and do my thing that way. So that was it, the performance side of it. Bobby and I just love radio and always have. And we're getting further and further away from it, both of us in our performance. But we were having a conversation one time. We were just talking about voiceover and we just kept going on and on. And she and I connected, you know, we're great friends and we connect over voiceover and radio. And now it's mostly voiceover. But we said, and I think it was 2018, we said, we should just record this and let it be a podcast. And that was it. That was it. We were like, yeah, let's do it. So I hired my original incarnation of the podcast was the Middle Class VO podcast. Mm-hmm. And so I'll tell you the change story in a minute. But at the time, I don't go light on stuff, man. So I hired, do you know Chloe DeLandis?
Yes. Yes, I do.
She's voice actor, singer, a wonderful singer.
Yeah. She's building a new booth right now. I saw the pictures of it. It looks beautiful.
Oh, okay. Good, good. Chloe's great, man. And she and I are friends and she's just a good person in this industry and she's helpful and she loves to encourage people. But I hired her to do the jingle for us. So we put this sweet jingle together, got, you know, graphics designed, all this stuff. And so, I went about it like that. Now, and we were trying to do, at the time, we were trying to do one a week. Oh, that just became impossible. Became impossible. So I don't have to tell you about putting together a podcast.
Yeah.
But so let's go back. So we did that for 2 to 3 years. And then it was funny because we were going through VO Atlanta trying to get liners. Now, you probably know what a liner is. That's where you get, hey, this is Joe Cipriano, and you're listening to such and such, you know, just something cool to kind of, you know, be a transitional element or just keep people engaged, that kind of stuff. And people okay, this is the Middle Class podcast. They would always leave out VO. No, it's the Middle Class VO podcast. Right. Anyway, so I was like, people aren't getting the name. And I approached Bobby with a possible name change. And then we had Maurice Tobias on as a guest, legendary voice acting coach. And she's like, I don't understand the branding of your podcast. What does that mean? And I just explained, like, look, we're grinders. We're meat and potatoes VO people that, you know, that's our base income. And I said, but then we reach for hire, right? And she's like, well, I don't know if that represents you well. I'm like, okay. And then we got done with that podcast. I'm like, Bobby, we're changing the name. It's happening. We're changing it. So we went through a few different name. We, you know, brainstormed and then we finally landed on Making Waves. And it was just like, yeah, that's what it's going to be. Because sometimes we have a little controversy. Sometimes we shake things up a little bit. And this new incarnation, we are strictly once a week now because, P.S., we got a sponsor. So that's why we have to do one once a week now, which is great. We've got a great sponsor and we're so grateful for that. But that was that's why we changed. Plus the whole middle class thing, we've grown beyond that. I always jokingly say, I was like, Bobby, you're just making too much money now. We can't be called middle class anymore. So that was the impetus of that change.
Well, that's how the name changed, but how do you believe the content or the mission of the podcast has changed over time? I mean, it's been 6 years now.
Yeah, we are focused on giving back to the industry. We're focused on bringing up conversations that need to be addressed. We are focused on giving back. Behind all that, though, is having fun, doing what we like to do. And man, I don't want to do anything like this unless I'm able to have fun with it. So that's always been the core of my personality is if I'm doing something, I typically want to have fun doing it. So giving back, empowering, because, you know, we have guests on that empower people all the time. And then Bobby and I like to do that with our experience. I've been doing it 20 years. Bobby's been doing it almost 10 or so now. And we have a lot to offer, I think. And we've gone through a lot. That's why we tell nightmare session stories about things that couldn't have gone more wrong in sessions where it's like people have come up to us and said, I thought I was the only one to ever experience a horrible session, you know, and it just kind of opens up that dialogue. No, we're all in this together. We're all doing the same thing. We're all experiencing the same things. So yeah, empowering the community is the main thing, giving back and having fun.
Yeah, man. And speaking of empowerment, I know you do coaching at the Tennessee Voiceover Studio, but I'm not quite sure what kind of coaching that you do. What is kind of your coaching method? What are you teaching or gearing voiceover artists up for?
I do. So I work with a lot of those that are just getting into it or have, you know, booked a few things here and there. I also coach with the VO Gurus out of New York.
Okay.
And man, it's not anything that I set out to do. Coaching. It just kind of came when people asked. And I'm like, you know, I'll give you everything I got. You know, I'll give it all my passion. But to your question, like a lot of it is narration focused because I've been, you know, I narrate a crap ton. By the way, did you know that crap ton is an actual unit of measurement?
It goes
crap ton, shit ton, and F ton. That's the hierarchy of the ton. Measurements. So I do a crap ton of e-learning, right?
So the more explicit it gets, the bigger it is. Got it.
Yeah. Okay. That's it.
Okay.
That's
cool.
It.
Got it.
I'm glad you picked up on that. But I do a lot of e-learning stuff and I do a lot of narration stuff in the corporate space. And I've also been lucky enough to narrate some pretty big documentaries. So a lot is narration focused because I've had success. Moreover, I've had a lot of training in the documentary space. Tom Pinto is my documentary mentor. And he has given his blessing to me that he's like, Kevin, these newer people you can totally work with. Because I've worked with Tom a lot over the years. And he's like, Kevin, you're just as directable as they come. And I'm not just saying that for bragging, a humble brag, man. This is work talk. That's all.
Well,
it is.
It's good to be malleable. And sometimes that, especially I can imagine working in radio, that takes time. To be able to become malleable.
It is. And to your point, it started in 2018. And now when I talk to you, whenever I'm in front of a microphone having a conversation like this, this is just how I talk.
Yeah.
This is it, man. This is me. Like when I'm talking to my wife, this is pretty much how I talk. Like if we're laying in bed or something.
We've had a drink together. Yeah. No, I've had regular conversations with you. Yeah. This is how
you
talk all
together.
The time. Oh, I know.
Yeah. But this is kind of how I sound. And so, it takes a lot to break down that radio. You know, I was in it just shy of 20 years, man. And so, but also it's the car stuff because the car reads are typically more of an announcer sound. What's that?
Angry dad.
Yeah. The angry father.
The angry father.
That people always comment on that because that's a style that I will do. And that's what earned me money full time. I don't do hardly the amount of angry father reads anymore that I did back in the early 2000s, but that was my bread and butter. And it was buy a new Camry, $299 a month, get it now, then do your homework or you're going to be grounded. And for
that's a little toned down from like what you actually do. Like
you're right, it is. My big agency that I'm actually exclusive with an agency now, we recently signed an exclusive retainer deal. It's like unheard of, but
Yeah.
Man, I'm
especially
I'm
now.
Really,
like,
yeah. I'm just really, really lucky that they like what I do and I'm able to provide a variety of sounds. But they call it Hudson Level 10. Kevin, that's what we need, a Hudson Level 10. So Hudson Level 10 means I do a group of dealers out of New York. Mm-hmm. New York, they can take it. They can take all the angry father I can give them. And I've been doing that exact same sound for 15 years on this group of New York area dealerships. And they sell cars. I'm not hiding anything. There's nothing unscrupulous. Everything is there. The information for consumers to get, it's just whatever it is. When you talk down to people in that space, it makes them listen, or they pay attention, or they, it, you know, rings with them later on. Oh, Hudson had the Camry for $299 a month. I remember some angry guy was telling me about it. But yeah, I do have a lot more in the tank in terms of that. But then I also go, hey, Andrew, why don't you get a new Camry for $299 a month? You can get it right now at Atlanta Toyota. So I got that too.
Do you ever find that doing those, because it sounds like you do your automotive first thing in the morning. So do those angry reads ever like, do you ever have to do anything for your vocal health before you start transitioning into your e-learning thing from like all that shouting or?
It's funny, man. It's like, so to your question, I do automotive throughout the day. Automotive is such a fast-paced world that you got to crank them out typically as they come in. But let's say I get, you know, sometimes they send them to me at 6 a.m. I've got a great relationship with this agency that I'm with now. And they know I probably clock in around 8:30, 8:45, 9. But if I've got a, Hudson Level 10 waiting on me, first thing I do is go, and then I go, is there some e-learning stuff that I can read first? Is there some enterprise rent-a-car on hold stuff I can read first? I look for something softer to get the pipes going. And if I don't have anything else waiting for me, I start the warm-ups. Bippity bumpity, rippity rumpity, bippity bumpity boo, bippity bumpity, rippity rumpity. Let's make it harder to do. Bumsity rumsity. Lips, teeth, tip of the tongue, lips, teeth. Tip. And I just go through all these different vocal warm-ups. And then I get the script. And then I start easing into that. I'll read it down one time, just kind of like this. Then I amp up the energy the next go round. Then I amp it up a little bit more after that. And so by the third or fourth time, my pipes are more warmed up. I can get into a lather without, you know, hurting my vocals at all.
Do your kids ever make fun of your warm-ups? I have that problem.
No. They're not around too much when I do the work. They're used to it, though.
Yeah.
They've never really made fun of the warm-ups, but they kind of chuckle at this stuff. And like, Dad, why you sound mad? And I'm like, well, that just happens to be what works on this particular read. But then they'll, you know, hear me read something warm and caring, you know, like, you know, at the Cancer Institute of Ohio, you know, you do this, you know, you get that, you know.
Yeah.
And so they hear it all. But yeah, it's kind of funny. I was going to tell you a story on the wearing out the vocals and being careful.
Bring it
was shortly after I started doing this full time, probably 2005, 2006. And you want to impress clients, you want to keep them happy. And I had this one auto client. They're like, Kevin, good read, but man, we want it more aggressive. And I was probably like an 8 out of 10 on that read. And I just let it fly. I went to a 10 and I lost my voice doing that read. And I was not able to work for about 3 days. I thought I'd done something serious, but it was commensurate with having a horrible allergy reaction. And where you get like that and you can't hardly talk. It was similar to that. But I had like 3 days where I couldn't read anything. And I said, never again, never again. I will never go to a 10. My client that says, hey, give us a 10, Kevin, that's still only an 8. So that's all I do for that. I'll only go to 8 because I learned where I can hurt myself.
Well, has any of your promo training taught you to sound like a 10 without actually being at what used to be a 10?
That's a great question. I'm getting better at that. I'm getting so much better because I'm starting to channel the energy and I'm using like pretend this is a waveform, right? And instead of being like this with a waveform and the intensity and the anger and the yell and that, I'm getting down here where it's more like this and I'm keeping it right here. So yes, I am, you know, the promo and trailer training is helping with that kind of vibe. And that's something that I encourage folks to do too. Train, 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 work with folks. doesn't matter the genre. I've learned stuff from animation training. Like, I don't do animation. I've done a couple things here and there where I've gotten some one-off gigs and stuff like that. But that kind of training that I've done has prepared me for those auditions that have come in. But also, it helps you connect in the commercial space. Or it's like, oh, I remember that animation coach. I think it was Sherman. Mary Jo Sherman. Anyway, last name Sherman. She's a casting director. She's amazing. But I learned stuff from her in an animation class that I was able to apply to commercial auditions. Yeah. So it all cross-pollinates, man. So I'm a strong proponent of training and working with folks because, again, if you stop getting better, you'll stop being good.
Well, outside of performance, what other ways are you currently investing in yourself?
Gear. I love gear.
Oh man, me too.
I you know, when your performance stuff is taken care of, which I'm of the mindset it's never taken care of. You're never going to be good enough.
No, I mean, it's a journey. Good enough. Huh? It's a journey though. You know what I mean? There's no end goal. This isn't a business with an exit. It's a constant evolving. I almost want to say hunt or chase.
It is
towards a better version of yourself. Yeah.
So, I just wrapped up a six pack of lessons with a guy, and he's like, Kev, thank you so much. I've learned so much working with you, and I just hope I can apply this and all this. And he started making it sound like that his training was done. I'm like, no, dude, you're just getting going. Yeah. I'm like, and I said what you just said. This is a lifetime. This is career long that you have to keep doing this. So getting back to your other point, you know, I got squirreled there. But how I'm investing in myself is, okay, the training, as you mentioned, I'm always got something going on.
Of course.
But gear, because it all adds up. So your technical sound. My tech sound has been great, but recently I upgraded to the Apollo Twin. I've got it right here, and I'm not going to pick it up because cables might fly.
Yeah.
but I also recently got some settings dialed in to really make. Now, this is my desk microphone, by the way. This is an Audio Technica. I'm not sure the model. Sorry for the noise.
No.
but I've got a 416 in my booth and a Manly reference in my booth that I'm able to just jump back and forth between, depending on the read.
Manly so reference the car stuff, microphone.
The more punchy stuff is going to be the 416. The Manly is for the warmer stuff, the more narration stuff.
It's got a good cross because like the Manly is a good, like beautiful, if you have the right space, it's a good balance between like a 416 and like a regular cardioid mic. I love how it picks up both. I don't have one, but I have played with one.
It's funny you say that because so when I first started this full time in 2004, I grabbed me an Audio Technica 4033.
Okay.
And it's a fine microphone. It's a fine microphone. But I wanted to upgrade. I was, and here we go. This is all getting back to your question.
Yeah.
I invest in myself. I encourage people to invest in their self. Keep making your space better. So I wanted a better microphone. And this is in the day when blogs were really big. I read a Joe Cipriano blog, and this is like in 2005, probably. And Joe Cipriano's setup was a Neumann U87. And an Avalon VT737. I'm like, that's it. That's what I have to have right now.
Right.
So I went out and reinvested in myself with my automotive dollars. I picked me up a U87 and a VT737. And here we are almost $5,000 later. And the U87 was too good. It was too good for the space I had. It was picking up every little, I was in a closet that I double walled, put a gap of air in between the walls, but it still was not right. I was getting creaks and all this, you know, the U87 was too good. So about 2 years later, I went to my gear guy and I said, look, man, I'm just getting, this thing is too sensitive for what I do. And so I bought a shotgun, the Sennheiser that's in there, because as we know, the Sennheiser is very focused. Like if I'm over here, you don't hear me as good. If I'm right here, you hear me great. But if I'm on this side, anyway,
right.
So I picked up that and I worked with that for about 2 years exclusively. But then I just missed the warmth of that U87. And I went back to my gear guy and I'm like, look, I love the 416. It's so present. I love it. It gives me a little bit of heft, a little bit of beefiness. I love that. But I just want something with a little more warmth. And he goes, Kev, he knew about my U87. And he's like, Kev, let me tell you about the Manly. Let's say the 416 and the U87 had a baby.
Yeah.
They did. And it's a Manly reference.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I got to try it. And then I just loved it. I just loved it. So I kept the 416. And so now they're both in operation and I can bounce them. And I've got settings dialed in on my Apollo Twin that I go, oh, this is, I'm going to be on the 416 and I'm going to do a hard sell spot. Click, press that setting. Oh, wait, let's do a trailer read, which is very soft, right? So I got to dial in that setting. I don't have to dial it in. It's all preset. Just hit a button. I'm gonna use a Manly for this narration. Manly documentary. Click and boom. Invest in yourself. That's one of the things I continue to do is invest in myself gear-wise. I might be set. Andrew had built about 7 booths over the years, and every time I built or spaces. So I'll take a closet, I'll double drywall it, all these things. But every time I did that, I said, I'm not doing that again. I'm not building another effing booth, right? And so finally, in 2017, I think, I got my Forever booth, which is right behind me. It is
gorgeous.
It's a vocalbooth.com. I'm so happy with it. It's 5x7. I don't know if you can see, but I've got...
That's a perfect space amount too. Cause like I was dealing with like 4x4 spaces or 5x5 spaces before I had gotten this bigger space. And I always found that like my warmer cardioid mics that I always loved myself on, they always picked up not on those creaks that you were talking about, but on that boxiness of being in an enclosed space.
That's it. Yeah. And that's something you got to tame because getting back to all these things add up. So a quick story. I don't know if we're running short on time or anything.
No, but man.
Okay. So as you know, now you've gotten to know me a little bit, know that I have, a couple of rosters that I manage and, occasionally I'll get a one-off where I need, a different voice than from my automotive roster or my e-learning roster. And, I have something unique or whatever. I needed to cast an authentic British voice. This is years ago before I've made connections with British voices that I trust. But I did a casting on a casting site years ago. And I got all these nice reads in, and this one guy was so good, but it sounded like he did his audition from the middle of the living room with Oprah on in the background, literally. And I'm like, I can't trust this. This guy sounds so good. He's perfect. He's everything I need. But I had to go to the second best guy who had decent audio. So these things add up. Being a pro. Being, doing what you say. I'm a big fan of under promise, over deliver.
Yes.
Like, hey, Kev, can you have that spot to me by 5 p.m. today? Yes, I can. I get it to him by 3, those kinds of things. But the sound, oh my, and that's one of the reasons, like, I'm ramping up the training, keeping that going, keeping the tech on point. My sound's always been good. I've always had decent ears. There are those that have better ears than me and are more tech savvy than me, but keep dialing it in, keep making a difference. All these things add up, being a professional, your technical sound, your performance is probably paramount, but all these other little things add up to that. Don't be a flake, be reachable, be accountable. All these things add up to getting booked again and again and again.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I know this is our passion, but like outside of voiceover, what are things that you enjoy? Like, how do you recharge your batteries? What do you do outside of the booth?
In the summertime, I golf and I get on the lake. We got us a 22-foot pontoon, Andrew, and I'm out there about every weekend on Old Hickory Lake.
I love pontoons.
Oh, man, they're so
pontoons.
Chill. And we, it's fast enough to pull my boys on a tube. They're 16, but they're 6'2". They're taller than their dad, which is great. But I can tote them around. But then we also will go out and we'll go hang out in a cove, sip a couple of cocktails, and just enjoy the sun and the weather. And then I golf a lot. I love sports. I'm a big sports guy. In the summertime, typically after everybody goes to bed, I'm watching the St. Louis Cardinals, who I've recorded in the daytime. I try to avoid seeing who won so I can watch it. But if I do happen to catch that they lose, I'm mad, don't want to watch it. But if I see they won, I still will watch the recording of the game. But yeah, I'm a big sports guy. I love outdoor stuff too. I played sports my whole life. So I still to this day love to golf, and I'll try to golf, once a week if I can. Doesn't always happen, but I'm usually on the lake or on a golf course at least once a week.
Fantastic, man. Well, where can people find you, and where can people find your stuff, and where can people find the Making Waves podcast?
So if any, you can just look up Making Waves VO podcast, Waves with no E in there, because it's wave like the audio. That's on Spotify, Apple, and thank goodness Apple just changed the logo after, 3/4 of a year. From the old logo, everybody else changed it in plenty of time. Thank you. But Apple took their sweet time changing my logo. But yeah, the podcast is out there. We put it out once a week, and it's very similar to what you do. It's just a fun, engaging podcast. And
yeah,
we talk about folks in the business, talk with folks in the business, and it's about empowerment, those kinds of things. And yeah, just my website, kevinkilpatrick.com. Now I do want to promote something on my website just a little bit.
Go for it.
Andrew, I don't know. Because when I did this, I don't know if there was any sweet pictures of you and I together, but I put together a gallery section on my website, and I've got probably close to 100 pictures of me and my life doing things, but mostly it's people from my world, the voiceover world. So all my voiceover friends are in there. And if you're not, it may be because we didn't take the picture until after this was already up.
So sometimes you just get so in the moment with somebody that you forget to take a picture. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. That's it too. And I try to do that whenever I can and forget about the photo op. Let's just share a moment together. But yeah, if you kevinkilpatrick.com, check out the gallery page, because I've got a ton of photos in there with some people that may be surprising to people. And then you'll see pictures of me when I was a kid playing baseball, pictures of me in college when I was doing plays, different stuff like that. So I'm just really proud of the gallery section on my website. That's it.
Well, thanks for coming on, man. This has been a blast.
Man, you're a great host. You ask great questions. You're easy to talk to. And it's a pleasure getting to know you over these years. And let me just turn it around to you, because this is what I tend to do. Okay. How have you been in the voice? If it's okay to turn it around on you, to ask you, how have you been? What have you been up to? And are you staying busy?
Yes, I always stay busy. If I'm not, because I'm a big direct marketing guy, and even auditions I quantify as a form of direct marketing. Because I look at cold outreaches, anything that gets my stuff in front of somebody that hasn't heard it. And so I've actually been ramping up a little bit in automotive, oddly enough, in the RV space.
Okay.
Because they like that my voice is, even though it has that baritone and rasp, it's still a little bit softer and more guy next door. I've been doing a handful of trailers for indie films, but I do a lot of e-learning. I do a lot of explainer video stuff. I do a lot of dubbing, a lot of ADR work. I do a good bit of video game work. Podcast has been going really good. Just got into this new space, and I had a couple of problems, but thank you for George Whittam.
George Whittam.
Yeah, thank you to George Whittam for helping me get AC in here. But I'm just constantly trying to find ways to improve both my performance and my marketing, especially in the way that that things have changed in the voiceover space. I've seen a lot of people complaining about a lull, and I've been very fortunate to where, even though I have things that go up and down, I still stay pretty consistent.
Good. I love that, man. And I respect the grind, and you've totally got your head wrapped around the grind mindset. I can see that. So mad respect to you. And best of luck to you moving forward in everything you do.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, man. It's been a blast.
I really hope you enjoyed a peek into Kevin's vast perspective on how malleability and continued training can create some amazing things in a voiceover career. If you'd like to check out some of his work, you can visit kevinkilpatrick.com. And his podcast is also on there. Check it out. It's definitely worth listening to. Thanks for listening. And I'll catch you in the next one.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit vocoffeeshop.com and our YouTube channel or your favorite podcast streaming platform. You know you want to.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.